We want to look there in Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Let's pray. Father, we think about the year that we've just entered into. We pray that as we look at your word this morning, and we may draw encouragement and instruction, that we may, in this year, that we may, Father, be more faithful as we think about your great faithfulness. You deserve the greatest faithfulness being given unto you. We ask, Father, that you would give us the grace that we need. And we know that the means by which you give us grace is through your word. And may we, Father, be able to take this, hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against you. This year will be a year that we can look back and see your hand upon us, your presence with us. Father, now we ask that you bless this service. For we pray, asking forgiveness of our sins, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sanctifying yourselves against tomorrow. As we anticipate the new year, or as we anticipate the future altogether, God given us grace, we see some things lined out in the scriptures that we are to look forward to and to prepare for. We touched on the subject this past prayer meeting, midweek service, on the subject of sanctification. And we considered the fact that we are all positionally sanctified. Look at, you know, there's three R's, reading, arithmetic, reading, writing, arithmetic. There you go. I've been out of teaching too long, haven't I? But there's three P's in sanctification. We're positionally sanctified in Jesus Christ. All right, we are progressively being sanctified presently, and we are going to be perfectly sanctified. So there is positional, there is progressive, and then there is that perfect sanctification. And we're positionally, we are in the position, in the sight of God, as it says in Hebrews 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified already. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So we see that we are shining more and more into the perfect day. That's the pattern for God's people. We have ups and downs, yes, but we are shining more and more into that perfect day. The book of Proverbs tells us clearly. But we look forward to that time. You know, we may get depressed and discouraged by our own failures. But Brother James touched on this a little bit as we think about, well, just how much have I done and look how much I didn't do and so on. We need to be encouraged by the fact that one day we will be perfectly, eternally sanctified. That's the promise. Matter of fact, that's the positional sanctification is a promise for what's going to happen. It's not based on me. It's not based on how faithful I am. It's based on how faithful God is. Great is his faithfulness. Not mine. I'm going to fail. I'm looking forward, by God's grace, to be more faithful than I've been in the past. But nonetheless, it ultimately rests on the faithfulness, the great faithfulness of our God. And of course, the remaining constituent of our being, that is our bodies, that's what remains to be sanctified. Our bodies, our vile bodies, need to be changed in order for that complete, perfect sanctification to take place. And of course, that occurs at the rapture. But the sanctifying, and it simply means preparing or setting apart ourselves unto God. It's a very common commandment we find in the Word of God. We see there in Leviticus 44, it begins by saying, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore," because God is our God, "ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." We're set apart. We're not of the world. You see, we are to be setting ourselves apart to God's service. "Therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." What kind of sanctification is it? It's a sanctification of holiness. You know, an athlete has to sometimes set apart himself. He may not be able to enjoy some of the things that his friends may enjoy because he's in training. He has to set aside time. He's got to discipline himself so that he can be sanctified, set apart, prepared for the contest that he may be engaged in, whether it's wrestling, whether it's football, whatever it might be. We could say for a soldier, for somebody who's training to be a nurse or a doctor or whatever. They're set aside themselves. They've sanctified themselves. And we as God's children operate on that same principle. We are to sanctify ourselves. It says there in Leviticus also, in chapter 20, it says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy." A holy sanctification. "For I am the Lord your God." That sanctification is based upon our identification with our God. Amen. Because of who we are. We are new creatures in Christ. Not new creatures as citizens of this country. Not new creatures as an employee of a certain company. But we're new creatures in Jesus Christ. We're identified with Him. And we show forth that identification as we're baptized. And even as we take the Lord's Supper, we are showing forth our identification with Christ. Now, how is this done? Well, first of all, understand that some people kind of try to categorize and compartmentalize. You know what I mean? They try to say, okay, this is my religious life and this is my secular life. Everything we do is we are to do unto God. Every part of our life should be set apart, should be sanctified to give God glory and praise. All of it. Even the very mundane, everyday things we mentioned on Wednesday, that the food that we eat, it's to be sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. There it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Well, some people would say, well, no, now being sanctified is something a lot different than that. Some will say, and I remember in my day when I was involved with this particular persuasion, I thought that being sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, that was being sanctified. I didn't understand. It's not biblical. It's not there in the Bible. That's not a part of being sanctified. When I was in Fort Riley, Kansas, and stationed over there, and I was Pentecostal then, and I come across these guys. What they said sanctification was, the guys had to all wear long sleeve shirts. Now, if you didn't wear a long sleeve shirt, you were immodest. You were not sanctified. And the list could go on and on of the legalism that, you know, if you're not sanctified unless you do this, unless you do that, unless you speak in tongues, unless you, whatever it is. Some would say dreams and out-of-body experiences. But you know what all these things are? They're all outward things. They're just external things. I don't care if we're talking, we make that mistake. People think that somehow or another, if they do something, Brother Charles was talking about, as they recognize it's already done, if we do something, we cannot be saved. But it's totally backwards of what God says. Well, the same thing holds true with the sanctification. And I've said many times, salvation and sanctification is all of grace. And it all deals with the heart. It deals with the inward. It doesn't... Now, understand, I know that if God deals with you on the inside, it's going to show itself on the outside. You know what I'm saying? By their fruit you shall know them. There's going to be some fruit manifested. Look over there, in 2 Chronicles. It says, but the priests are too few. And this is when there was a revival in the land. And chapter 29, verse 34. Notice what was taking place here. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Now notice why. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. It's got to go to the heart. It's got to be more than just some external religious exercises. Got to be much more than that. That's where it's got to begin. And the means that God uses, as we mentioned Wednesday, is the Word of God and prayer. We see Jesus in John 17:17, sanctify them. He was praying, first of all. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification takes place through word and through prayer. That's the means that God uses. Again, aiming at the heart. Now, there's a lot of things that we could deal with on this subject. But I found it interesting. There were three things specifically. Three things. Just three things on this particular issue. And has that same phraseology that we see, sanctifying yourselves against tomorrow. You see that three times. And we're going to look at that this morning. The first thing I want to look at is sanctifying yourself against judgments. Now we see that in our text. There is a judgment about to fall. And God told the people with that in mind to sanctify themselves against tomorrow. This new year may bring some judgments. I mean, our country, now it may not be us, maybe individually, and then again it may, but our country is ripe for judgment. We've killed millions upon millions of unborn babies. We've sanctioned sodomite so-called marriages. The corruption is growing more and more and more. God's people. The old bakers over there on the West Coast. What's happening to them? First of all, they drove them out of business. But they're not satisfied with that. Now they've drained their bank accounts. Judgment could be right around the corner this year. We need to sanctify ourselves against tomorrow, against some judgments that may come this year. Set ourselves apart. You know what? If I know I'm going through difficult times, I sure enough want to be ready for it. I want to be sanctified for it. You know what I mean? Who likes to be blindsided? I don't like to be blindsided. No way. But God in His Word As we look at the word, we recognize these signs, don't we, of judgment that may be about to fall. And so through the word, we can sanctify, we can recognize, what does it say? The prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. Okay? It's almost like he sanctifies himself. And that's what we need to do. God, in his graciousness and his mercy, has showed us these things. And in doing so, we may not get the brunt of judgment that may come. What happened to the children of Israel when the judgment fell upon Egypt? They were untouched. The land of Goshen didn't suffer those plagues, those 10 plagues that were upon Egypt. God protected them. So we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that our protection, our sanctification is in the Lord Jesus. Now, notice it says there, as we look at the context of our text, the children of Israel were complaining. They wanted flesh to eat. They wanted their appetites to be fed. And they've been complaining. And now the iniquity has come to the brim, if you will. Notice there in verse 20 of Numbers 11. But even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you. How's that? And have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Did they appreciate that? No. They were complaining and murmuring. Now, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid to eat those quail. After what he said there, I'd be afraid to even, go there. Because what happened in verse 33? And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a great, very great plague. And he called the name of that plague Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Judgment came tomorrow. Judgment may come tomorrow. We even understand, too, that the church there at Ephesus was given a space of repentance. I don't know your personal everyday life, and I know that we all sin. But sometimes we get to a point and the space for repentance is over. You may suffer some chastisement. Now, the good thing, one of the things I appreciate is that we have God's word here. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Even if God does chasten us, we'll be better off if we repent of our sins. God will show mercy to us. But we may, what did David do? He repented. He was sorry for what he did. But trouble still came to him. Trouble still came. And it may be that trouble's going to come regardless. But the blessed thing is, David never grew bitter toward God. He knew he didn't deserve anything. He deserved the chastisement that he suffered. And again, I just have to say this again. If I'm going through a difficult time, wouldn't it be better that I would do it with the Lord by my side than to do it following him afar off? Wouldn't it be better? And that's what repentance does. And that's what David did, even through all the trouble that he had as a result of that sin that he committed. I hope nothing like that happens to any of us here, but it might. I don't know. And we need to have that kind of love toward one another. You know, that was the church that I was speaking of, the space of repentance. We don't have time for a bunch of petty grievances. We don't have time for it. It destroys the unity of the body. What happens to a ball team or a platoon when there is fussing and fighting? The enemy is going to take advantage of it. Judgment will surely fall upon a church that is like that. For the sake of the membership, for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, for the glory of God, let's don't make this year a year of judgment. It could happen. It could happen to any of us. To say it wouldn't is just pure pride. And that's the way that Satan likes to work. Oh, he'll take a little thing, you know, and say, oh, that was just a wonderful message you preached. You know, a great Sunday school lesson, they're opening, and oh, you're so smart. You know, he just keeps stroking you, get your pride going, you know, and pushing the buttons. And what does the scripture tell us? Pride comes before a fall. Oh, you know this about this particular subject more than anybody else in church, and you're so smart and they're not so smart, you know. You know what I'm saying? That's the way he is. He'll use little things like that to get his foot in the door and cause trouble and bring judgment and trouble. We need to hide behind the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hide behind the rock of Christ for mercy. And determine by the grace of God that this isn't going to be a year where judgment, at least in our own individual lives, in this church, the family, and so forth, that judgment will come. The judge of all the earth will do right. As Abraham presented holy arguments before God regarding Sodom and the judgment that was to fall. He's going to do right when judgment comes. You may be here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. Judgment may come to you in the form of death. That may be the day you die this year. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Could happen. This could be the last year you're on the face of this earth. Live it for the glory of God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come as a child, turning from your sins, recognizing that you are undone before Him. That you need salvation through Christ. This world is not all it's cracked up to be. You see it falling to pieces all around us. Even a lost person can see that. The answer is not the world. There's been wars upon wars for hundreds and thousands of years. We've never solved the problems that we have and we're not. Only Jesus Christ is sufficient for this. Amen. And only Jesus Christ is sufficient for your salvation to bring ultimate deliverance at the establishing of His eternal kingdom. And that only happens by looking to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was slain from before the foundation of the world, who suffered for sin, for the sins of everyone that would trust in Him, trust in His sacrifice, trust on what He did, the suffering that He went through to make an atonement, to reconcile sinners unto Himself. But then secondly, we need to sanctify ourselves for wonders. Now, I like this. This is the next passage that talks about that very same thing. Same words. It's interesting. There's only three scriptures that deal with this. Joshua chapter 3. To turn over there, we find those same kind of words. And as I think about tomorrow, as I think about the year coming up, sanctify yourself for wonders. Notice here in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." This is the positive part. I know that judgment stuff's hard to swallow, but it's in the Bible. It's true. Just as true as this one is. And let's look at this. These were the first steps of the children of Israel entering into the promised land. These first steps were critical. And for us in this new year, our first steps, let it not be steps that falter. And we fumble the ball, if you will. This was the beginning where Israel saw many wonders that God did before their eyes. In their very presence. This could be a year where God will work many wonders. Prepare for that. How do you do that? How does that happen? Pray believing that's going to happen. Pray believing that God will save our leaders, the citizens of our land, that God will save members of our family, that God will bring people into the church that God saves. But not only pray that God will, but live like He will. Just because it may be that judgment may come. Remember, we're in the land of Goshen. Just because judgment may come, God is our shelter. He is our rock. We're hidden under His wings. And I can live like I have the victory because I have the victory in Jesus Christ. Live like God's going to do wonders. And you know what? I think what happens to us, because we take things for granted, as we don't see the very wonders that God does in our very midst, our eyes aren't open to it. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." May the Lord open our eyes to that. God doing wonders in our midst. May He do wonders in our midst this coming year. May we pray that, live that. But notice it again in verse 7 of the same text there in Joshua chapter 3. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." You know how we are sometimes. Well, that's Moses, you know. Of course, God was with him. God's with us. Notice there in verse 5, we just read, and verse 7, and couple that with the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua." This tells us what it was. What was the wonder that he was referring to? "That the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." What happened in between those two verses? What happened is that God dried up the river Jordan so that they could pass through. And those 12 stones representing each tribe of the children of Israel were laid in the bottom of that river. It was an indication of God's covenant with them. And God's made an everlasting, a new covenant with us. A promise that He's going to be with us whithersoever we go, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's a wonder in and of itself. You know what I'm saying? God's with us. He's never going to leave us. No matter how bad we mess up, He's going to be with us. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. But then now in verse 6, notice what happens here. What is one of the conditions of this? Seeing the wonders, preparing, sanctifying against the wonders. What was the conditional thing that was done? And it says, "And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant." Now, first of all, there was a sanctification. Remember, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. But then it says, "And take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. What is the ark of the covenant? Brother Charles, I'm sure, will touch on that when he deals with the tabernacle. It represents Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ must go before us. We don't run ahead of Him and decide to do things our way. But we follow after Him. He is before us. We follow Him. And then we see again this whole concept there in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. "And said unto them, You are the chief of the fathers of Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it." You and your brethren. It was a united effort as a church. We're to have a united effort in setting apart ourselves to the Lord for tomorrow, this coming year. I pray God will give us a year of wonders. God doing wonders among us. It was the responsibilities of the priests, wasn't it? To offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Well, we're all kings and priests. Did you know that? 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And then we see there in 2 Chronicles 35, 6, "So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren." We're responsible to each other. It's not like, "Well, I'm sanctified, I don't care about the rest of you." We're responsible to each other. We love each other. We want everyone to be sanctified. We want to see God's wonders, not just working in our own individual life, but we want to see God's wonders in every one of our lives. That's what we want. "That they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses." Now, thirdly, not only sanctify yourself for judgments, sanctify yourselves for wonders, but in Exodus chapter 19, if we look over there, we see a sanctifying yourself for triumphs. And this is just going to merely introduce this thought, because my real text for that point will be a different one. But in Exodus 19:10, I want us to notice something. If we're going to sanctify ourselves for triumphs, it says there in Exodus 19:10, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." There's got to be some cleaning up. Part of sanctification is cleaning up. We all remember the washing of the feet. We're clean, but we pick up filth as we go along in the world, just by being in the world. I mentioned about washing one another's feet. But there's a cleanliness that needs to take place. We must be a clean people, not an unclean people. Not a people that's not sanctified. Now, Brother Cletus, I hate to tell you, but clean shaven I don't think is in the Bible. I wonder why they don't call it clean bearded. I think it has something to do with the razor companies, a conspiracy or something. But anyway, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5, it says, "And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord of God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the place, out of the holy place." A little leaven's going to leaven the whole lump. The people were to sanctify themselves to the point of washing their clothes. You ever heard the expression, cleanliness is next to godliness in a certain sense? That's true. Sometimes we get a little highfalutin. I don't know if any of y'all ever went into a burn patient's room before. Probably Beth has, and some of the other nurses here. But there needs to be a sterilization. There needs to be absolute cleanliness. You got to put on the cap and the gown and the gloves and the shoes and everything. You got to wash up. Because they just can't get infected. They can't have uncleanness to touch them. Now you might say, well, what's wrong with you? You think I didn't take a shower? You think that I didn't take a shower or something? I don't have any North Carolina mud under my fingernails. What's the big deal? Why do I have to do this? Now if we were to do that, I'm sure a nurse would say, well, these are proven procedures that help our patients get better so they won't get infected, so they don't get worse. And besides, these are the rules of the hospital. God has provided proven procedures that have been handed down by the great physician, and it's the rules that he has set aside. We need to be clean. It says there in Exodus 19, verse 12, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death." You see, months before, the Lord had appeared to Moses in the burning bush. What did he say to Moses? He said, "Take the shoes off your feet, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And the ground I look at this new year is holy ground. It is ground that God has prepared for me to walk in His presence. And I need to be sanctified. I need to be cleansed. If I want to enjoy the triumphs and bring Him glory." Now, this is the one I was wanting to look at in Joshua 7:13. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." What was that accursed thing? That was that Babylonian garment. That was that wedge of gold that they weren't supposed to take anything out of the city of Jericho. They enjoyed a victory at Jericho, a great victory. But they suffered a defeat at Ai because they allowed an accursed thing. They weren't going to be able to, even though Jericho was a greater enemy, much formidable enemy, and they won. Ai was just a small little place. They thought they could just go in there, no problem. We need to sanctify ourselves against tomorrow. We're not going to win battles. We're not going to be as victorious as we can be. We're not going to enjoy the triumphs in Jesus Christ as much as we can if we allow an accursed thing in our individual lives in this church. May you take it seriously like that. We really do. Do you want to see God's wonders? Do you want to enjoy the triumphs? Then we must take these things into account. Meditate upon them. The beautiful thing is, they did. They did take away that accursed thing. And God gave them the victory. And you know what? He not only gave them the victory there, but they just kept on. They enjoyed victory after victory and triumph after triumph. They're in the promised land. And that's what I pray will happen for us this year. That as we, by the grace of God, sanctify ourselves against tomorrow in the future, that we will see triumph after triumph in this church, in the nation, in our families, in our personal lives. There's so much we could say about this. My prayer is what Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, you could say the heart, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So may God be pleased. May we be partakers of this blessing of sanctifying ourselves as we call upon the Lord out of a pure heart for grace to help against tomorrow, for judgments, for wonders, and for triumphs. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother James, if you would lead us and ask a blessing on the food.
Lord God Almighty, I thank you for allowing us to come to you once again in prayer. It is a good time to be in your house today, Lord. And thank you for that blessing. Thank you for your word, Lord. Take it and apply it in our lives and hide it in our hearts. Yes. You sanctify our hearts, Lord, and yes, create in us a clean heart, Lord, and that you would just help us, dear God, that we would have a closer walk with you, to strengthen us, Lord, to use us to your pleasure and holy will. Place the right spirit within us, Lord, and help us to just overcome trials and tribulations in life, Lord. Just help us to look to you and you solely for deliverance, Lord, and strength.
Yes.
As we walk through this world, Lord, that you would help us not to rely on our own strength, for this is insufficient, and we cannot do things on our own, Lord, but help us to trust you completely, Lord, knowing that you will give us the grace and strength, Lord, to overcome the trials and difficulties in this world, Lord. We strengthen us, Lord, and help us to have a closer walk with you. Thank you for answered prayers, Lord. We continue to answer them. Thank you for being Brother Andy, Lord, as you delivered the word. I ask that you would help him this evening, Lord, with the message this afternoon, and to give him the words and have him to say. Help us, dear God, that we'll set our hearts and our minds straight on you, Lord, and your word and your ways. Deliver us from distractions, Lord, and help us to leave worldly thoughts at the door.
Yes.
Will you just sanctify our hearts, Lord, and help us that we would go forth boldly, Lord, with your name upon our lips. Help us to pray believing, Lord, knowing that you will answer prayer and knowing that you will work wonders and work all things to your honor and to your glory. Help us to pray expecting these things to come to pass. But be your will, forgive us, Lord, will we fail thee and come short of thy glory. Forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Will you just bless Sister Light Church, Lord, as they gather together. Bless the services, Lord. Just help us as your children to be a light into this world. You would help us to go forth boldly, Lord, with your name upon our lips. Will you just help us to take advantage of opportunities to witness to others, Lord, and tell them of Christ, Lord, and the sacrifice that was made on the cross. Will you just help us to speak boldly, Lord, and to not cower at opposition or whatever it may be, that you strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen our hearts and our minds. I know that we are frail creatures, Lord, but in you we can do all things. Through you we can do all things and overcome.
Yes.
We be with those who cannot be with us this evening or today, Lord, for whatever reason, that you keep us safe, bring them back to us at that point of time. We thank you, dear God, for each and every one here today. Be with those that are sick, Lord. Bring them to a full measure of health. We think of Chris and his family, Lord, yes. If they're sick, that you'll touch and heal their bodies, Lord. Bring them to a full measure of health. Thank you, dear God, for your abundant blessings, for you truly are merciful. Help us to be faithful to serve you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Will you just help us as we go forth this week, Lord, in our jobs or whatever it may be that we go about doing, that you help us to do all to your honor and to your glory. Thank you for our visitors, Lord. Bless and guide them, meet the needs in their lives. Yes. Thank you for our opportunity to go on visitation yesterday, Lord, and the people we spoke yes. with. That you bless these. Lord, give the increase in accordance with your pleasure and holy yes. will. Lord, that you would just even bless the food we're about to eat, Lord, for the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you for your provision, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship, Lord. Help us to just glory in you, Lord.
Yes.
Just strengthen us and help us to overcome trials and tribulations. All those things we ask you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.